And please remain standing as we'll take a moment of silence for Stanislaw County Deputy Sheriff Dennis Wallace, followed by invocation by Kevin Carroll of Modesto Gospel Mission.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now we'll have invocation.
Yep. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and ask for your blessing on this day. We ask you to bless our nation, state, city, and county officials with your wisdom and grace. We thank you that we can approach your throne with these requests. And Father, right now, just for another moment, we just take a moment of silence for Deputy Dennis Wallace. It is with heavy hearts that we ask you for your love and your peace to comfort the Wallace family for this loss. Deputy Wallace served our county unselfishly and sacrificed the ultimate, his life. Father, in your word, you said, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his brother. Lord, we stand in the gap for all of our law enforcement and public servants and ask that you put a hedge of protection around them this day. Please be especially close to the Wallace family and local law enforcement on this day that when we honor Deputy Wallace. Father, we ask that you would be with us on this day. Shower us with your peace. Now have your way in this meeting. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
We will now have public comment. Anyone wishing to make a comment, up to 5 minutes on any subject not on today's agenda. And we have a request from Joel Salaberry. Would you wish to speak now?
Good morning. As I'm sure you know me already, I'm the president of Reclamation 2063, which is the San Joaquin River. And I got a big problem with the county. Up to 4 years ago, the county was paying 45% of our expenses in the San Joaquin River. Four years ago, they slapped us with 18.5%. Here I got my own 12 miles in the river that I'm taking care of it. I'm getting about $60,000 from taxes a year to take care of the levy. And we're barely making it. I raised the taxes twice already, and we're barely making it. And now we got the county. They want to pay us 2%. Matt Machado, which is in charge of the county, he tells me so that the county does not benefit from that levy. Well, I did some figures, and what Matt Machado doesn't realize is that the county collects $916,048 per year in taxes from those two reclamations, which is 2063 and 2091. Now, you people are business people. If that levy wasn't there, how much would the county be collecting from the 916,000? Will it be a third? I don't even think it'll be I don't think the county will be collecting a third of that money. Just in my part, I built 700 cow dairy. I got a shop. I got a few houses. And I'm paying $24,353 a year taxes. Will I be paying that money? No, because I won't even buy that place in 1980 when I bought it if the levy wasn't there. It's not only me. There's big dairies in there. You got 2,000 cow dairies in there, 3,000 cow dairies in there. Will those dairy be there if the levy wasn't there? I don't think so. And you guys want to pay 2%? I mean, in 1997, when we had the flood, I had my wife driving. I was checking the mileage. There were 18 miles county routes that were underwater. And Matt Machado tells me the water does not hurt the county routes. Well, go back to New Orleans when they have that flood. Their biggest expenses was the routes after the floods. And we don't have to go too far if the roots doesn't bother the county roots. Go to the Hillmar, American Lemur and Central Avenue. This is about half a mile, it gets flooded in there. Go look at it. And you tell me if the water does not affect those roots. So here now you guys want to pay two miserable person. And how are they going to come up with the money to pay our expenses? They put us now... I was telling the board 4 years ago, we gotta do something, we gotta get an attorney. And they keep telling me, well, we don't have no money, we didn't. And so we didn't hire an attorney. And I was telling them, how do we know is this gonna stay 18% from now? I mean, this is it. Well, it's not. They just put us at 35.5%. All of a sudden from zero to 35, and I gotta pay for my own reclamation? Is that the way things are done in San Luis County? Well, I got a new business that I started a year ago. I started manufacturing stainless steel irrigation valves. And the county is collecting about $5,000 sales taxes from me already. I'm going to double and triple those sales. But believe me, there's another shop in 2 miles from my place, which is in Merced County. If that's the way it's going to be, I'm going to move my shop in Merced County. You guys gonna lose my sales tax from my stainless steel valves. I got a patent, new patent that I got for a building scraper, which is designed by me. And those scrapers, an Army Corps engineer wants them really bad. Department of Water Resources wants them really bad because I did a $940,000 job, supposed to take 3 months to do it with 15 guys. I did 11 days with a scraper. I just got the patent. I'm gonna start building those scrapers. And you're talking $50,000 for each scraper. So you guys gonna lose the sales tax, so think about it. So if you guys wanna give me the 2%, I'm moving out, so that's about all I got to say. So now you got my letters and that's explaining everything. Yes. So I hope you guys looking at it. And all I'm asking from you guys is 10%. It's not a big deal. 10%, we're talking about, if you look in the last page.
Hey, Joe, can I ask you a question? The 10%, is that capped or is that floating? Is that 10% of the total cost when there's a problem?
And 10% it's going to be 10% for the county. We're going to pay 15%. We're willing to pay 15%. And that's going to be a cap. And I would like to say that thing for 25 years, 50 years, whatever is possible, because I don't think we should start every year changing these figures. I think what we should do is set this thing for 25 or 50 years. So you're talking, with the 15%, Candy, you're talking $6,300, big deal. But for us, it's a lot, because if you don't have it, you don't have it. And I remember for many years when I started working with the reclamation, we never had enough money to pay the bills, and it's not fun to be up there and be in charge of something when you don't have enough money to do it. I remember we had $24,000 from TID bill, which we never paid for because we didn't have no money to pay for. Now I'm saving quite a bit money with my... We used to spend about $50,000 spray every year to spray the levee. Well, we don't have to do that anymore because I'm using truck tires. We pull them with a tractor as fast as you can go, and that is a perfect job. So we don't have to spray, so we're saving that money. And so that gives me more money now to take care of the pumps and everything. But we just cannot afford 36%. I mean, it's getting way out of the range.
So... Joe, and I will tell you, I know you're the only one out there working on the levees trying to do a good job. The $6,300, I think it's important two things. Number one, there is a reserve now, right, of about $200,000, if I remember.
We got, but what's $200,000? That's nothing. We got those pumps in there. If you go back in the years, I mean, we spend every time there's a single problem with those big pumps, there goes to 300,000. 200,000 is nothing. We got to keep higher reserve. And they want to lower the rates now to pay for, but I'm against that because, I mean, 200,000 is nothing compared to expenses that you go buy one of those pumps, you're talking 200,000 right there. And I've been wanting to dry dock those pumps. When I already dry docked all the pumps that I got. I got eight of them, and I dry docked them. And it's going to double the life of those pumps by dry docking because they're not anymore in the water when you're not using them. And they keep telling me, well, we don't have the money, but we got 200,000. Yeah, but that's nothing compared to what, I mean, all it takes is something. Last time we spent $100,000+. I mean, you get Dan Pedro, get those work in those pumps, and there goes $200,000 like nothing. That's peanuts.
So, but under that $200,000 scenario, then our $6,300 would go up to $20,000. We would be 10% of the total cost, or capped at $6,300.
That's total. That's capped. That's all you have to. You guys have to pay $6,300. And I would like to make this for 25 or 50 years, so we're not changing those figures. I mean, $6,300. You guys getting more than that from my stainless steel valves that you get in my sales tax.
If there is a problem, then there's not enough money to cover it. How are you going to cover it? Are you going to cover the shortfall?
If we get this amount that I'm proposing right now. Uh-huh. We're going to be, in another 5 years, we'll have 400,000, the way it's going. And if we get this money, but there's no way we can afford to go 18,000. In the first place, we're going to end up in court. I guarantee you this, because there's no way we can afford to pay for. We already hired an attorney. And in fact, when I did that levy job, I donated almost $60,000 to the Reclamation 63 for my labor and my equipment. And that $63,000, I told them, this is going to be for attorney fees because we got to do something about this. We got to fight it. So if you guys want to spend money in court, that's where it's going to end up. But that's where we're going to go for.
See, I'm going to ask Matt to come up here just to explain how reclamation districts work really quick, just so everyone understands. Who does the benefit assessment?
So how the RDs work?
Just the reclamation districts generally, who's in charge, who will be the final authority in the end?
Okay, so in this particular case, this is the Gomes Lake facility, and it's actually owned by the state of California. And when they built it in about 1959, the agreement was that it'd be locally maintained. And we executed our first agreement in about 1971. There was no agreement for the first 10 or 12 years. But since then, the locals have figured out a way to fund it, to maintain it. But if at some point we can't agree upon how to maintain it, the state will step in, and they will form their own assessment district based upon area of benefit. And we've been in conversation with them for almost 6 years now, and they have a plan. And it probably won't include the same partners that we have today. But that aside, we've been working with both of the RDs, the City of Turlock, TID, for over a year to try to get to an agreement. We actually had a meeting on last Friday, but they canceled it. And we weren't proposing the 2%. We were proposing something different. We thought it was equitable. But as you can see, I don't know that we have agreement yet. But we're striving to work on that and try to get to a place where everybody can go forward and agree upon the terms.
Has anyone discussed between the two of you about the cap? Because that was always a point of contention.
Yes. And
for me
so,
personally. I mean.
And so one of the RD members has been going around with all the partners and trying to broker an equitable deal. And the cap has been floated around everybody, and it's almost there. I think Mr. Salaberry is the only holdout, in essence, that doesn't like the cap. The cap would still generate capital reserves on an annual basis. For the past 5 years, our annual budget has been $63,000, and that puts about $45,000 into capital reserves every year. But the operational budget is really only about $15,000. So our plan going forward would be about a $30,000 or $40,000 budget, still putting considerable money into capital reserves, giving the county a cap so that there's not an open-ended liability perspective, and still keeping the reserves in excess of $200,000, and as Joe described, maybe pushing $400,000 in a short time period, which would be a lot of money for this small, small facility.
But I just heard Mr. Salaberry say that a cap was okay, right? That we're capped?
Well, this is my proposal here.
Oh, okay. You haven't seen the proposal. I'm sorry.
Okay, so that's not a cap, but yeah.
That's my proposal.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's 10% for the county should pay for.
But Mr. Salaberry, you said it would be capped at the 10%, right? Right here?
With this
number that's written right here, it's not a floating 10%. If the cost is $600,000, you're not proposing the county pay $60,000, are you?
By paying this 10%, another four years, we're going to have $400,000. They want to lower, what they want to do, just to make a look good, they want to lower the payments. I'm against 100%, because if we lower the payments when we need it, we're going to have the money, and who's going to come up with the money to pay for? My deal is, don't tell me the county cannot afford $6,500 a year. And I would like to propose this for 25 or 50 years, have settlement, so we don't have to be going through this. And like I say, and if you guys don't agree with this, my sales tax is going to end up from coming. They're going to go to Merced County, because there's a shopping about 2 miles from my place that is available. And my stainless steel business is really doubling up. So my sales tax, they're going to go up. And not only that, I just got my patent for my scraper, so I'm going to start building those. You're talking $50,000 machine, maybe even more. And by the time I get done with it. So just the sales tax you guys are going to lose from this is going to be a lot bigger than the 65 you're talking in here a year. And what I would like to do is start paying that money, all of us, and just because it looks good now, don't lower the payments. We need the money in reserve, because I know what it is to be without. And it's going to happen. Those big pumps, when you got a problem, you're talking big money to fix them.
Okay, I'm going to ask one more time. Capped at this number, at 10%, at $6,300,
yes.
Capped.
Yes.
Not a dollar more.
Not a dollar more. Okay. That's all I'm asking from you guys.
Okay. I hadn't heard that from you in the past when we were in negotiations. So that, anyways, it's a, I understand now. And get back and we'll discuss.
And he says so that Albert Mendez is one of decided. He's my vice president. But what Albert Mendez don't realize, he didn't go through my shoes when there was no money in the kitty. And I keep telling him, there's no way we can afford to pay 25%.
Excuse me for interrupting, but later on, if you guys want to get together, we should proceed.
Thank
but
you,
thank you very much, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else wishing to make any comment, public comment at this time? If not, we'll go on to the consent calendar.
Excuse me.
Oh, pardon me.
Can I make one question, please? Can I ask? I would like to get the answer yes or no in about 10 days, because I'm making a decision if I'm going to move my shop or not. So I need to know. If I don't get no decision in 10 days, that tells me there's going to be no from you guys. So I would like to get a decision one way or the other in 10 days, please.
Yep.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Thank you. On the consent calendar.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to pull item C2.
C2.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to pull item C1 to bring back at a future date.
Next week. Okay. Do you want to discuss the pull before we vote?
No, let's go ahead and vote on the consent calendar.
Right now, we have the pumps first.
Yeah.
Is there anyone in the public wishing to make any comments on the consent calendar? If you have any concerns or comments, now is the time to speak. Come forward. If not, I'll bring it back to the board. And what's the board's wish?
Motion to approve all consent items with the exception of items C1 and C2.
Okay. C1 will be discussed now, and C1 would be brought back next week.
No, C1, I think C1 will be brought back and C2 will be discussed.
There's a second on that.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Pass. Thank you. Now let's bring up on C2.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have a concern on C2 when it comes to distance of requiring 100% approval of citizens. Mr. Machado is made aware of that, and I think he might have an update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Mr. Eisen, Mr. Doring, Matt Machado, Public Works Director, and Supervisor O'Brien did voice his concern, and I looked into it, and let me explain the concern. So the speed hump policy today requires that 66% of the neighborhood that would be in the area of a speed hump would have to support the placement of speed humps, but 100% of the residents that are adjacent to the speed hump would have to have unanimous support. They'd all have to sign on that speed humps would be okay with them. And we had put in the speed hump policy a distance of 250 feet from the placement of the speed hump on each direction. 250 feet would require 100% unanimous support of the speed hump. Supervisor O'Brien brought up the fact that couldn't that be on more of a sliding scale so that in different applications and different situations that distance would vary. And when looking at that idea, we considered the concept that in different areas the speed limits are different. And so with a different speed limit, there would be a different effect of noise. And that's the purpose of this unanimous support, is that these speed humps can cause noise, brake noise, acceleration noise, and we were trying to cover the area around the speed hump for noise to make sure people were okay with that. But if the speed is different, then the distance probably should be different as well. And so we developed an idea, a concept that we could amend into the speed hump policy if the board so chooses, that it'd be a sliding scale. So at 25 mile an hour posted speed limit, it would still be the 250 foot distance from a speed hump that would require 100% support of the neighbors. At a slower speed, say if posted speed limit of 15 miles per hour, it would be 150 foot requirement. So 150 feet from the speed hump would require 100% unanimous support of the neighborhood. If the speed limit was higher, say 35 miles per hour, then it would be a greater distance, because then people are braking sooner and creating noise sooner, so then that distance would go to 350 feet. This distance is not just a arbitrary number that I pulled out of my brain. It's based upon sight distance, stopping distance for those particular speeds. So at 35 miles an hour, it takes longer to stop to a speed hump at 25 and at 15. And so this 100-foot increment is based upon speed. And so what I would propose, if the board is willing, is to amend the 250-foot requirement, put it on a sliding scale based upon the posted speed limit. So at 15 miles an hour, it'd be 150-foot requirement. At 25 miles per hour, it'd be a 250-foot requirement. And at 35 miles an hour, it'd be a 350-foot requirement. I'm hopeful that addresses Supervisor O'Brien's concern. I think he brought up a really valid point in terms of the effects of these speed humps to the neighborhood. And it should be dependent upon the speed and the true effect of the noise.
Any other comments? Okay. Anyone in the public wish to make any comment on it at this time? Bring it back to the board then.
Motion to approve with modification as noted.
Second. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed.
Thank you
very much. We now will go to, let's see, what do we have here? To B14?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Supervisor Monteith, Chairman Monteith, Board of Supervisors, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doring. Thank you for allowing us to come before you today. I'm here today seeking your support to rehire Betty Emery as an extra help supervising legal clerk 2 of the Adult Child and Family Services Division prior to the 180-day waiting period as outlined in the Public Employee Pension Reform Act of 2013. I'm also asking that you certify, as required by PEPRA, that the rehiring of Betty Emery as an extra help supervising legal clerk is necessary to fill a critical needed position prior to the passage of the 180-day waiting period. Ms. Emery has been supervising legal clerk since November 2002 and has been the only person to hold this position. A new supervisor has been hired, began employment on November 14, 2016, and needs training to understand this key role in child welfare, which Ms. Emery can provide. Ms. Emery has an in-depth knowledge and experience of juvenile dependency court and possesses skills in the preparation, analysis, and filing of complex legal documents, the ability to respond to court and attorney inquiries and requests for court documents, and the skill in reviewing legal documents for accuracy and redacting documents as required by the court. The supervising legal clerk also plays a critical role in the implementation of the Continuum of Care Act, which will be implemented January 1, 2017. Additional policies and procedures need to be developed and implemented to meet the new reform requirements. Ms. Emery will guide the new supervisor and the legal clerks. Through the implementation of these changes, Ms. Emery will also assist with the new legislation related to the Indian Child Welfare Act, known as ICWA, as it relates to child welfare notices and court documents to Indian tribes. Ms. Emery is expected to work no more than 20 hours per week for a period of 3 to 6 months to ensure a smooth transition. Thank you for your support. I'm open to any questions.
Any questions by members of the board this time? If not, open to the public. Anyone in the public have any comment or concern? If not, I'll bring it back to the board.
Motion approved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye. Those aye. Who oppose? Pass.
Thank you.
We now will go to B14. Rick, did you get?
15.
15, pardon me. What did I say? 14. Oh, pardon me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me, Chairman Monteith, members of the board, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doering. Pleased to be with you today to be able to present our mental health board report for 2015-16. And I have Mr. Jack Waldorf with us today, who's our chair. And just as a reminder, the mental health board is appointed by the Board of Supervisors as an advisory body to the Board of Supervisors and the local behavioral health director. The role of the mental health board is established in statute for WNI code 5604.2 and includes the following responsibilities: review and evaluate the community's mental health needs, services, facilities, and special problems, review the county annual performance contract with the state, advise the Board of Supervisors and the local behavioral health director as to any aspect of the local mental health program, review and approve the procedures used to ensure citizen and professional involvement at all stages of the planning process, review and make recommendations on applicants for the appointment of a local director of behavioral health services. The board shall be included in the selection process prior to the vote of the Board of Supervisors. Review and comment on the county's performance outcome data and communicate its findings to the California Mental Health Planning Council. And finally, submit an annual report to the Board of Supervisors on the needs and performance of the county's mental health system. So I'd like to ask again Mr. Waldorf to come and present a summary of some highlights from the report.
Thank you, Rick, and good morning.
Good morning.
I'd just like to, I think the report speaks for itself, and I would just like to highlight a few brief items for your attention. We had quite a bit of turnover on the board recently, and for a variety of reasons, but one of those reasons had to do with some new members becoming frustrated trying to learn all the complexities of the mental health system and not really understanding it. And so we've instituted a mentorship program where everyone who comes now to the board as a new member is assigned an older member to help them understand what's going on and to answer their questions about the process and so forth. And that seems to be working well. We also, as you know from previous reports, We had a planning session in 2013. There were five goals that we outlined at that time, and two of them were finally finished this year. One was to increase visibility and communication with the community and elected officials, and the other was to embrace diversity internally and externally. For the increasing visibility and communication with the community and elected officials, we made presentations to each of the city councils in the county about the board, and Supervisor Withrow very kindly accompanied us during those presentations, and that gave us a great deal more credibility, I think.
Or not, Jack.
Anyway, those were well received, and we were pleased to do that. The most important news is that the Mental Health Board and the ABSAT Board both have, I think this was with Madeline's urging, became interested in the idea of a merger, and it was pretty much a unanimous desire on the part of both boards. I recently attended a meeting in Sacramento of Central California board chairpersons, and I discovered that a number of boards have also decided to combine. None have done it with the speed that we've done it. We've set apparently a new record for Central California, and I think that's due to the fact that the members of both boards were willing to sit down and roll up their sleeves and work together. So that proposal will be coming to you. I'm not sure what the date is, but probably in January. Finally, the Impact Committee of the Mental Health Board has been making site visits to Mental Health Service Act programs for the last several years. And those site visits include talking to the people who administer the programs and talking separately with clients of those programs to see how they discern that the program is meeting their needs or in some cases not meeting their needs. And then those evaluations are given to the program directors so that they can make the necessary adjustments. We've expanded that now, so to the entire board and all its committees are doing site visits, and this includes programs of the department itself. And this is really the wave of the future, I think, for the board, to become completely involved with all of the programs that the department has, contract and direct programs. And finally, I'd like to commend you on your choice of director. It's been a real pleasure working with Rick, and he has a vision, I think, for mental health in this county that I completely endorse, and I'm very excited about the possibility or about the working with him over this next several years. Thank you very much. Do you have any questions?
Any questions by the board?
Can I comment?
Go ahead.
Can I comment? I would just like to comment a couple of things. Number one, I know you've had a lot of turnover, Jack, but as long as you're hanging out there, we're going to be in good shape. I appreciate it. You've been doing that a long time, probably for about a decade now, right?
A little longer, yeah.
A little longer than that, which is fantastic. And then I know that Supervisor Withrow and the Mental Health Board went out to the cities. I was there for a couple of those presentations, did a fantastic job, and it's always good for the public to realize how much good is being done by people donating their time. So thank you. Big hats off from me.
Well, thank you.
And Jack, I'm just going to add on here. First, again, I want to congratulate Rick also for joining us. We're very excited about having you and hope for great things here. So we're all looking forward to you being around here. Very proud to be a part of the Mental Health Board, and it's just an honor to work with you guys. It's when I first started, that was my first committee I was first assigned to, and was very nervous going in there. And now it's I always tell everybody that's the meeting of all my meetings that I look forward to going to once a month is there. I just feel very comfortable and very much enjoy working with you guys and seeing how hard you work on everything. It was great, the road show that we all did out in all the nine cities. I think that was very educational for the the elected officials of those cities just to see what the county does through its mental health program, and I thought it was a very educational for them. And you guys just did a great job out there presenting, so it was fun every time we went out. So I really appreciate that. So just good work that you're doing. We have such a large budget. You know, there's a lot of money that runs through, as an accountant, I think of those things, and a lot of money that runs through our BHRS. And we're doing great stuff, and it ties right in. There are so many things that we're doing working in the county, but ties right in with all our focus on prevention as the board has got that moving forward. And a lot of it we steal from what's going on at BHRS. A lot of the ideas come from there. So anyway, great work to all of you, and thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. Any other questions, board, from Rick or anyone else?
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity, and we'll seek your endorsement for our plan. So thank you.
And I'll open it to the public. Anyone wishing to make comment or concern? Yes, please.
My name is
please come up to the mic and introduce yourself, please, for the record.
I wasn't planning to make one, but I did after that good report. Hi, I'm Lynn Padlow. I'm the director of NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness, and we're one of the partners with BHRS, and we have helped over thousands of people in this community with our 8 programs that are funded by you and the Mental Health Board. And I'd like to thank you for that partnership. And we continue to work hard to help our citizens. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your services. Anyone else wish to make comment at this time? If not, I'll bring it back to the board. What's your wish?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the staff recommendations to accept the Mental Health Board annual report.
Is there a second?
I'd like to second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed. Thank you very much. We now will go to correspondence.
This board has received a revised public hearing notice from the California Water Boards regarding an amendment to the water quality control plan for the Sacramento River and the San Joaquin River Basin for control of pyrethroid pesticide discharges.
Referred to the Department of Environmental Resources and the Agricultural Commission, and the sealer weights and measures.
This board has received 2 notice of findings from the California Fish and Game Commission regarding the Livermore tar plant and the Townsend Big Ear Bat.
Refer to Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. At this time, does any board member have a report? Yes.
I have one, Mr. Chairman. I was the election observer for the board at the elections. And so I stayed there all night and observed everything. I found that everything was in order. The elections were held without a hitch. The process was very orderly and professional. I found nothing wrong. I was there till about 1 o'clock at night. I watched the ballots come in and the kind of an assembly line process that they have of checking in the precincts and pulling out the disc and recording it. So I found no problems. I just wanted to report that.
Thank you. Anyone else, board, have a report? If not, we'll go to the legislative, fiscal, and management report. Chief Executive Officer?
No report this morning.
Well, in that case, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.